Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. Behind the curtain. Behind the curtain.
This is Behind the Curtain, and I'm Matt Schulte. Each episode, I have a conversation with someone in the world of storytelling. As I develop my own story, called The True History of Oz, I have two goals: to learn as much as I can about storytelling, and to share those learnings with other storytellers, no matter the medium they work in. My guest today is Buck Corbidet Schulte, a brilliant designer, artist, and filmmaker. They designed the True History of Oz logo and our first t-shirt. We talk about their process of going from idea to art.
So, thanks for joining me.
Absolutely.
And as you know, I developed this story, started writing this story called The True History of Oz, that then turned into a thing that's very specifically The Tin Man Runs the Town. And I asked for your help in trying to define some of the design elements, brand elements, kind of however you want to talk about it, because that's something that I know that you're good at and we've done together before. So my first question is, what kind of process do you go through, or like what's your, where do you start? If someone comes to you with an idea and says, I've got an idea, it's based around a story, you know, then what? Yeah.
When someone comes to me and pitches me a story, sort of like you did, the first thing that I do is go to every connection that I have with that story that I've created so far in my life. So I think about all of the instances, in this case, that I have interacted with the Oz books, and I think about how that concept exists in modern culture, and the way that because I'm a very visual person, I start visualizing the things that are being described to me right away. So when you started describing The True History of Oz, I started envisioning the illustrations that I remember from the Oz books that I read growing up, because I liked them a lot, because I was really into kind of absurdist adventure YA novels. And I thought about some of these old art books that I have that also pertain to Oz, and those actually informed the designs that I made. But yeah, the first thing that I do is I think of all the connections that I have, and then my visualization is colored by those connections, and it sort of takes off from there as a combination of the story I'm being told and the reference material.
Sure. Let's pretend that this isn't about the true history of Oz. And someone came to you with, I mean, one of the things, part of the point of these little chats is that, like, everything is a story. Like, no matter what you're trying to do or sell or be, there's a story that needs to be told, probably, you know?
Yeah.
And so if someone comes to you with a different idea, you know, like they would, is that where you still start? You're just like, well, what kind of connection do I have with this story that they're trying to tell? Or even another thing I was thinking of is, do you ever say to them like, oh, I see where you're trying to go, but I think this is the story you're trying to tell?
I try to hear them out for a while before offering suggestions like that. But if they're a friend of mine, then that is something that I might approach, asking if this is the kind of story they want to tell. Because a lot of the times, if someone's trying to tell a story, I find there's like the narrative plot elements, and then there's also their perspective on it and like the way they feel about it and their like emotional attachment to the story, and that informs how the story appears and how we talk about it.
Yeah, and so in a way, you want to know, it's not just about you trying to figure out what your connection to it, it's trying to figure out what their connection is to it.
Yeah, because that helps me visualize it. I don't want to be envisioning something that is so far off base that I wouldn't be helpful to someone who's trying to describe a story to me. Totally. Like, if they want to say, like, what do you picture when I tell you this story? I ask them, you know, what are you hoping for in terms of feedback? Or can I just like run with it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's always helpful and useful. And you're really good at like trying to figure out, like if people don't have a place where they want to start, you know, you have to be the one that says, should we start here? Does this seem like a good place to start, you know?
Yeah.
So with this project, I told you, I think the first thing we did was I said I want to see about a t-shirt design. Is that right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And all that I told you, I think, was I gave you some reference material, and then I said, and there's also a kind of the theme that I want on there, which is if change is possible, then hope is justified, right?
Yeah.
Which is extremely on topic for today.
Yeah.
Change and hope, right?
Yeah.
So tell me, if you can, a little bit about, like, I didn't even tell you what I wanted on the shirt. I just said, here's a theme. You know the story because I've shown you other reference material. Go be a genius, you know? Yeah. So what was, like, your process or your thought process or whatever to, like, start working on that?
My thought process was, well, so I like your slogan, your theme. If change is possible, then hope is justified. And I think that it is something that you can sort of say as like a soundbite, but also I find it really, really meaningful. Like, I think that over the last few years, I've sort of been learning to incorporate the concept of hope into my worldview. Mm. And that's been strangely difficult. I think partially because I grew up in such a cynical city, Portland, Oregon. I think people aren't very hopeful here, despite it being, I don't know, I feel like people would argue with me, but I think they're very cynical here.
I agree.
And so the first thing I thought when you told me about that was that The Wizard of Oz is, despite some of the media portrayals to the contrary, The Wizard of Oz originally is a book that is for children. Well, I mean, I guess you could argue that as well, but it's primarily targeted at children, and as such, it has a lot of like motifs in it that are a little bit nonsensical and also a little bit like metaphorical.
Mm-hmm.
Like to describe a relationship between two like species of characters, like one will be extremely tiny, and then you have to talk about the like the dynamics of how they can't move through the world like the bigger characters can, and that can be like an allegory for oppression. And, or inequity.
Yeah.
And so the first thing I was thinking was, I don't want to do this theme an injustice by making it less serious. Like, I didn't want to create, like, I don't know, I guess sort of like a comic booky cartoon sort of image. Even though I think there are a lot of good messages in comic books and cartoons, I wanted to be able to find a way to integrate imagery from your story in a way that felt kind of enigmatic, so that you could expand with what your idea of the theme meant. I thought if I provided too much detail to the audience and like to the t-shirt, that it wouldn't be a bad thing necessarily, but I thought it would portray something really different, especially because the theme is so conceptual. I thought, well, I need something that represents this story, but also something that can rely on that conceptual framework.
Right, right.
You know?
Yeah. And so you started with those thoughts, and then I think I know, but you correct me if I'm wrong, that you're similar sometimes in your artistic process, which is you try to not necessarily edit yourself. Like, you will just start drawing and like wherever you it goes, you're like, oh, that's interesting or not. It's not like you say, I'm now going to draw this. You know, is
Yeah,
that
I
accurate?
find this. Yes, it is accurate. I find that the stuff that I make when I make myself create is, I don't think that it's bad, but I do think that it is not usually what I'm, it's not what I'm trying for with stuff like this. So I tried doing a few different designs before landing on the one that I sent you, and I thought they were okay. Like, I thought they were pretty good, but they weren't like exactly right. And it was, I mean, I'm glad I sent you a few different versions so that you could tell me which one that you preferred, but I like the illustration we landed on. I think it kind of nailed it.
Totally nailed it. Do you have the shirt? Like I can
Yeah.
insert the image into this thing, but if you've got it, do you want to hold it up?
Yeah, I'll go grab it from my bedroom.
Okay.
I was gonna wear it, but I just have this pin on.
Okay.
Wait, here it is.
Oh, we're going to talk about the pin in a minute.
Yeah,
They are wearing the pin that they designed for this project as well. And the pin is of a logo for the project, The True History of Oz, which they actually, I think I have a pin right here. It's backwards, obviously. But they will hold one up for you too. So I just wanted, with the project, I just wanted to have some stuff. You know, I thought it would be fun, in addition to the story, to have stuff, you know, tangible things. And so it's not just a story world, it's like you can experience the world through the stuff. So. All right, let's see it.
yeah, so here's the design.
Right, if change is possible, then hope is justified. And then it's got the URL on the bottom, the wizardofoz.org.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then on the front, that is the official logo for the True History of Oz project. Yeah, that looks great. Thank you. Yeah, so, I don't quite remember what the other images you sent me were, although I remember I liked them, but this one that we landed on, I loved. And so how did that come about? So it's one of the flying monkeys,
Yeah.
and it's sort of not a literal rendering of the things that I had in my video or the things that were in the actual book. It's like it's a kind of a different version. So how did you land on that? Because it's super cool, but like how'd you arrive
Thank
at
you.
that? Yeah.
I thought about it a lot, and I ended up sort of waking up in the middle of the night to pull out my sketchbook and draw this image down because I had been brainstorming it and I couldn't think of anything for the longest time. But some of my favorite imagery that you've created for this project was for Stan. And I know that that has been that's been a
The king of the flying monkeys is Stan. Yeah.
yeah, the King of the Flying Monkeys. You created these really exquisite props for him, and I thought that created like a great mystery around him. And I think it seemed like it was sort of a large part of the story. And it's also something from the original story that is very recognizable and also wasn't really expanded on a whole lot
Totally.
in the movie or
Or the
in the
book.
books, as far as I can remember.
There
Yeah,
is not. I mean,
it's not.
that is one of the first things I thought of when I was writing this story is I was like, why is there not a king of that monkey tribe? Like
They
there
don't
is
expand them at
one
all.
mentioned in one of the books very briefly, but it's not a thing. So
Ah.
that was my whole thing with that character. I was like, there should be, you know, a leader of those monkeys, and the monkeys should not just be little minions. They should be these powerful things, and their king should be very powerful. So he is a big part of the True History of Oz's story, which was why I was stoked that you like picked that out of, you know, this whole thing to create the design for it. So go ahead.
Great. He's not as hulking in my rendition as he is in some of the ways that you've created him. And I really like the design of the props that you've made for Stan.
Yeah.
But part of the reason that I made him a little smaller for the shirt was, first of all, I was sort of subtly referencing maybe a younger age that Stan was at, talking about change over time, you know?
Oh, right.
And I also think that it was really, I really like that you have a King of the Flying Monkeys, because it's also, it's very Wizard of Oz to have there be like a leader of a group of people. Like, I remember the Troll King from those books also.
Yes.
Like giving tests to the characters.
Yes. So the Troll King, that's funny that you brought that up. So I have gone, of course, I've gone through all the books, you know, when I started, and there's a lot. There's 13 that Baum wrote. You know, so I've been through all of those, and those books are so full of characters that are interesting that never get expanded upon.
Yes, at all. There really are.
And so the Troll King is one of them, because like there's a little, there's kind of a little bit of a story about the Troll King, and I remember reading it like just 2 years ago or whenever when I was working on this and going, that's pretty interesting. Like, that's a cool character. So one of the things that I've been doing with The True History of Oz is I'm trying to find those things that Baum would, like, reference just, like, once sometimes in a book. And you're just like, where did that go? Because it's super cool.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, there's so many little things like that.
The sand ghosts.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I don't even remember the sand ghosts.
They're out in the desert, and you, that's why you can't cross the desert, because they're living under. And then these sand ghosts appear if you try to cross the desert. So Dorothy Dorothy had to ride across the desert on a magic carpet. It's like, what? Okay. But the concept of these things below, almost like the worms in Dune, where they just like, except they're called sand ghosts. Anyway.
That's so cool.
Yeah. So you thought, oh, well, I love the thought. You didn't tell me this before, but I love the thought that it was sort of, and he looks like a younger version of Stan, like he's not king yet. I mean, that's sort of, I didn't know this, but that's sort of the way to sum that design up and how it's married to the theme, right?
Yeah,
it's this younger version of him. He's not as bulky. He's actually crouched over like a monkey. And in most of the shots that I have, like in the promo video, he's a monster, you know.
Yeah.
And he's upright, actually.
Yes.
So I didn't know that. So that's a really interesting thing, because that's sort of, you know, you always want the collaborator to be able to add additional depth to whatever it is you hand to them, right? And it seems like that's what you did, which I could recognize. You know, there's the emotional reaction to a design or a, you know, an asset or whatever.
Yeah.
And, you know, my emotional reaction was like, oh, this is perfect, yay. And then you find out that there's layers underneath that, you know, right?
Yeah.
Like, oh, it's literally tied to the theme. Right, of change. Anyway, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, one hopes with the design that it is one, time.
Yes, totally. Exactly, one hopes. Tell me a little bit about, while you were gone, I held up the pin. Let's see, there we go. Right, so that's the official logo. So how did you come up with that? You sent me a bunch of different designs, but again, I didn't give you, I think all I said was it'd be cool to have a logo that could kind of be in a circle.
Yeah.
But I give you any more instruction other than that?
I don't think that you did.
Yeah, I don't either.
Because I asked for you for reference materials, and I also went to your website. To look and see what kind of fonts you were considering for it already, because, like, fortunately, I really like The Wizard of Oz. I really liked those books growing up. I really liked reading them, and I remember a lot of the illustrations from them because, I don't know, I really like old illustrations.
Yeah.
So I had a bunch of ideas, and a lot of them were around, like, you have this, I believe it's sort of like a blocky serif font, and it's cool. It looks like a letterpress thing,
yeah,
which I think is great for the age of Baum's books. I thought that was really appropriate. Mm-hmm. And then the logo that you ended up liking, I didn't know that you would like that one. And I'm really happy that you did, because I was excited about that design. And I didn't realize this for a while, but I was remembering one of Baum's original illustrations when I was doing that illustration. So here I have this like really old Oz book from a library.
Nice.
It's really classic. And there's a few of the covers have the O and the Z overlaid on one another. Right. And I've only seen them on like the really old books. So I was sort of hoping to find a photo within this of that. But you can at least see it on the cover. All right. Well, oh my gosh. Here's a great illustration of Flying Monkey.
Yeah, super cool.
Anyway, my point was just that this font even itself sort of replicates the way that I did the logo.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah.
Yeah, the O and the Z are the same width, and combining them sort of gives you this idea. I also did these serifs on the end.
Yes.
So I thought it would be a good reference for people that had an understanding of what The Wizard of Oz was in its original iteration. So if you were a fan of it, you could like get the reference maybe a little bit, but it's different enough that it doesn't look like the Oz logo.
And the thing with stuff like that is people don't give enough, I don't know what the right word is, but like, you may not consciously say to yourself, oh, that reminds me of the old Wizard of Oz, if you've been exposed to it, but it's still in there somewhere. There's still something in there somewhere is going, oh, that looks neat. And it's like, well, it's because you remember it from when you were nine.
Exactly. You know? That's the psychology of design, right? Yeah.
The psychology of design. There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
I love that. Which is interesting. The psychology of design is interesting because, to me, because trying to do the things that you just described in both the t-shirt design and the logo design and, you know, the button, is how do you marry something that's interesting, you know, to the goal of the thing, the design goal, you know, it's and what it turns into, which is it's going to be a shirt, you know, and like how do you marry those together and have it be both great design in terms of like that looks cool, I feel, you know, but also the emotional part of it, you know, that has a lot to do with your you know, the things you already know and you've already seen, and your not nostalgia, but like your either innate understanding or your memories of things, you know, that are referencing other things and you don't even really realize it. Yeah. So, I mean, the psychology of design is a really good way to think about that, because what goes into that psychology and into that design are just all these levels of stuff, right?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, awesome. And so was it pretty easy? I mean, once you sent me a bunch of different logos, maybe four or five.
I did, yeah.
Yeah, and I think, I could be wrong, but I think you sent me three or four. And I said, these are neat. And I one of them I thought was pretty cool. And then for some reason, you're like, oh, I have another one I didn't send you. Is that right? Am I remembering that right?
Yeah, you are remembering that right. I don't think that I sent you the one that had the Z overlaid on it.
You didn't.
at first at all.
Yeah.
It was like a follow-up idea that I had.
Oh, I see. After I said, these are kind of neat, and they were.
Yeah.
And you were like, oh, I have another idea. Is that right?
Yeah. Well, I was considering after I had sent those image files to you that nothing truly is created from a vacuum.
Mm-hmm.
And everything that I make has some point of reference in the world somewhere. Like, nothing is truly new. Everything is recycled.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know why I had done the OZ thing at first, which is part of why I hadn't sent it to you, because I was like, well, that's not what he asked for. But I gave it some thought and remembered the old book covers.
Mm.
And so I sent it to you just in case, and you really liked it. And now it's the buttons.
Yeah, that was definitely, that was the winner for sure. And the design of the t-shirt, you know, it's one of those things that no one that I show it to doesn't go, that's cool, that's different and neat, you know. But it is different, but at the same time, it just seems really of a family of the kind of world of the Wizard of Oz, you know, in terms of like, you know, back, you know, going back to 1902, it feels different and modern, but of that world, if that makes sense. Which, you know, I think that was your goal. It's like, we can stop right there. Cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right. Well, thank you for sharing all of that stuff with me. Are you working on anything right now that would be of interest for folks that are watching?
Well, I very recently submitted 10 pages of a comic that I'm writing to an anthology that is going to be released pretty soon called Lackadaisical.
Mm-hmm.
It's from a publisher in the Portland area named Quamney, and I think it's going to be published by the end of this year. I am super excited about it.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Is that something that I could share maybe at the end of this podcast, like an image or something that you could send me?
Yeah, I can send you an image. I'm hoping to get up maybe a Patreon about it so I can put drafts and pages in progress up in case people want hints as to the larger story, because there's only 10 pages in the anthology.
Oh, and so that's an excerpt from the whole thing you wrote? So it's going to be an actual comic book? Or?
Yes.
And how many pages is the actual thing that you did?
I don't know. I haven't written the whole thing yet.
Oh, I got it. Okay.
I anticipate that maybe the final product or the final version of the first volume, I don't know, it'd be really sick if it was like 50 or 60 pages.
That would be sick.
So.
Sick in a good way.
That's my goal.
All right. Well, thank you. We'll talk soon.
Yeah. Thanks for having me on the podcast.
Okay. Bye-bye.
And that's the show. Thank you for listening. My guest today was Buck Corvide Schulte, filmmaker and designer. And I'm Matt Schulte, and this has been Behind the Curtain, number 3.